friend's breakfast here. He wanted to know if he could stop by about 5 and drink coffee with me at home. I said, no. No. Zero. My wife's in the bed. My kids are in the bed. Get you a 2-year-old and you won't want to drink coffee at 5 in the morning. Can I get an amen? All right, let's get started. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. I'm going to preach you one point this morning. Won't go through it all. I'll save it for tonight. Amen. But I want to share with you. I wouldn't want to come in without opening the Word this morning, sharing a portion of God's Word with you. My prayer is this morning that God has done blessed your heart in a mighty way. My prayer is this morning that He's done moved on you in a mighty way. My prayer is that He gets all the honor and the glory for what's happened already in this place this morning. Man, I thank God that there's a day in my life that He reached down from heaven when I couldn't reach up. I didn't know to reach up. I didn't know how to reach up. I didn't know where to reach up. I didn't know who to reach to. And He reached down to where I was at and found nothing and took something that was nothing and made something out of it. Can I get a amen? You said, well, preacher, no, I done the raising up. I done the lifting up. No, you didn't do nothing. Only thing you done, you was just there. And He reached down where you was at, put it on your heart to call on His name. And you called on. He called on you and you answered the call. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hey, this morning I want to talk about being strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10 this morning. I want to read just a few verses. Being strong in the Lord. If you're strong in the Lord, can I get an amen? And the Bible says, finally, here's where Paul's at here. When he comes to the church at Ephesus, he says, finally, he said, finally, my brethren, if you want to know all that you need to do as a child of God, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against family or friends. You're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. You're not fighting against your pastor or your deacons or the other church members. We are a body of Christ. If there's any dissension or any division that comes in, I want you to know it's going to be coming from principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. Of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, I want to say it's good to be in your house this morning. I want to say it's good to be at the Spout where the glory runs out, Father. I thank you for a worship team and a choir up here this morning how to praise you in a mighty way. I want to thank you for a congregation that is in love with you this morning. Lord, I want to thank you, Father God, for this church and what you're doing in this local body. And Lord, I pray we be strong in you, Father. I pray no division and no dissension would come in. I pray that we stand against the wiles of the devil. I pray that we stand against the rulers of darkness and wicked places. Father, I pray this morning that you bless every man, woman, a boy and girl. If there's one in here this morning that is saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, and they feel like they can't stand no longer, I pray you give them the strength to stand one more day. Father, I'm not worried about a year down the road. I'm worried about today. Hey, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we're going to stand, Father. Father, we're not promised tomorrow, so let's just stand today. Father, I pray that you move in a mighty way. I pray you pierce the hearts of the ones that are lost. I pray that you move on them, Father. I pray for that one that is sitting there and they've never had a day that they've been born again. I pray this would be a day they could mark down and say, today's the day that I've been saved. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I thank you in no other name but the name of Jesus. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let it be all about you. I pray I decrease and you increase. In Jesus' holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated this morning being strong in the Lord. Here we see in the Bible that Paul told the church at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord. He said we as Christians need to be strong in what the Lord has called us to do. Because we have an enemy and spiritual wickedness that is wanting to destroy and to devour us as children of God. I want you to know there's a satanic attack against the church. It's against children of God. It's against men of God. It's against women of God. It's against God's people. And if you don't believe me, you just look around at people that used to be and were they under the spout where the glory runs out. And now they're no longer in the house of God. No longer in where God had called them to be because they lost what they thought that they had. They no longer had that strength within them. They may still be saved. That's between them and God. But you listen to me this afternoon. As I am your pastor, I want you to know that a child of God's got to be strong in what God has called them to do. And you say, preacher, how can we be strong in that? By lining up with the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Hey, the Bible, number one, I want to share this with you. If you want to be strong in the Lord, hey, number one, you got to suit up. Hey, you got to suit up in what God's called you to do. There's a lot of men I know that have stood up but never suited up. They wanted to stand up and teach a class and they weren't ready to teach it. They wanted to stand up and preach the gospel and they weren't ready to preach it. They wanted to stand up and lead their home and they wasn't ready to lead it. There's a lot of women that's wanted to stand up and they weren't ready to do what they thought God had called them to do. You say, preacher, what must I do? First off, you got to suit up. You got to get ready for what God has called you to do. You say, preacher, how do I put the suit on? You can't put the suit on until you've been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, this morning I want you to know that there is a God in heaven. And I want you to know there's a heaven to gain. But you listen to this preacher this morning. There's a hell to shine. Can I get an amen? I want you to know this morning that, hey, there's a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shine. And you say, preacher, what do I need to do? It's time that the church wake up and we suit up for Christ Jesus. We suit up for what God's called us to do. We suit up and be what God has called us to be. No more wimpy, no more laid down, but stand up on the Word of God. The man you are on Sunday, you be it all week long. The woman you are on Sunday, you be it all week long. You don't gossip in here, don't you gossip out there. Hey, you don't drink in here, don't you drink out there. Hey, you don't dope in here. Don't you dope out there. Hey, you don't commit a fornication in here. Don't you do it out there. You suit up in what God's called you to do. Suit up in what God has called you to do. Look with me if you will. If you will, in verse number 11, the Bible says, here's the suit up. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on that whole armor of God. Hey, you must suit up. He said, preacher, what does the suit look like? What will this suit do? When you put this suit on, all will be able to see. Even the devil will know when you got your suit on. Even the devil will know when you're completely suited up. I can't wear your suit. You can't wear mine. I must put on the suit of God. Amen. You said, preacher, does it always fit? It will if you'll put it on right. I was preaching at the men's conference yesterday and I got up yesterday morning and before I ever went, I laid out my clothes that night, Brother Robbie Wilson. I laid out my clothes that night before I ever went because I knew that a rider was going to be asleep and Brandy done told me, if you wake him up, you're going to carry him with you. So I was teeter-totting through the house, y'all know what I'm saying? And I had my suit laid out and I was barely going through the house, Brother J.D. And I got in there and went to put on my pants. I said, oh no, I had grabbed the 36s. Hey, see, when you get 44, you got a pair of 36s, 38s, and 40s. It depends on how much you eat is what you're going to wear. Hey, when I was back in the day, 218 was my size. That's what I wore constantly. But since I've got older, boy, I don't know what's happened. But all I know is I got up yesterday morning, I went to put them on, and I got my glasses, and I looked at the tag on the back. It said 36-30. Had them hemmed to 28s. I said, oh my goodness, this ain't going to work. I squeezed all I had and put them 36s on. I said, it ain't but 8 hours. I'll make it work. I got up there to where they was at. They had barbecue, nanner, pudding, baked beans, tater salad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, this ain't never going to work. Man, my shirt was skin tight to a giraffe. I'm telling you what, you could see every spot. You could see everything that was wrong. I kept my coat on long as I could. And I got up there and got to preaching in the Holy Ghost. And he got hooked up in me, Brother Eric. And I got hooked up in him. And I want you to know about halfway through that sermon, I said, I know I ain't at home, but I got to untuck his shirt. So sudden, I started flying that shirt one way. I started taking that thing off. Why? Because I grabbed the wrong suit. I grabbed something that didn't fit. I grabbed something that didn't work. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You put on something that don't fit. You put on something that ain't working. You've been suited up in something that ain't of God, and you need to get it off of you. You need to put on what fits you. And he said, here's what I need you to put on. He said, first thing, I need you to put on the belt. I didn't need a belt yesterday. So what'd you do, preacher, this morning? When I got up, I made sure I had 40s. See, I didn't make that mistake again. I got away from that 36. I probably throw them in the garbage. You know what happens when you wear something that don't fit? Makes you uncomfortable. Makes you feel weird. Makes you feel awkward. Makes you feel like if I could get this off and you can't get it off quick enough. Man, I know men that stepped off into things they shouldn't have stepped off in. And now they wish they could get it off of them. They wish they could tear it off of them. It's ruined their home. It's ruined their families. It's ruined everything God's trying to put together. And they're just wallowing around and they said, what'd I do, preacher? You got to get it off of you and put on the armor of God. Let me show you this morning. I'll be quick, I promise. Let me show you what he says this morning. If you will, in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look with me in verse number 14, what we need to put on. He said, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. He said, I want you to buckle up. I want you to put on that belt of truth. I want you to gird yourself up. I don't want you to be slack. I don't want you to be slothful. I don't want you to be lazy. I want you to stay in that word of God. I want you to stay in that truth. I want you to line up. I want you to suit up. I want you to put on the right suit, the one that fits you. I want you to put on the truth. He said, I want you to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. You said, why is that, preacher? Because the old devil, he is sending fiery darts right to your heart this morning. Right to your heart this morning. He is sending fiery darts to your heart. He said, I want you to put on that belt, but I want you to put on that breastplate of righteousness. I don't want nothing to get to your heart. I don't want nothing to pierce your heart. That is the wiles of the devil. This morning you may be sitting there and you said, preacher, you don't know how my heart's been ripped out. You don't know how I've been done wrong. You don't know what I've went through. Honey, can I say to you, hey, God ain't never done you wrong. Hey, God ain't never done you wrong. He ain't done nothing but done you right. And this morning, if you get to that place and your heart start getting that way, make sure that you got on the breastplate of righteousness. He said he seen the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, but he said, I want your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Why does he worry about our feet? Why does he worry about our feet? Because when we go to work and we go to do what God's called us to do, we're going to get in some slippery places. We're going to get in some sticky places. Don't you wear Crocs to work this week, Brother Jake. Don't wear a set of, wear your boots, son. If you wear the wrong material or the wrong stuff, it'll mess you up. He said, I want you to put the belt on. I want you to put on the breastplate. And he said, I want your feet shod with the gospel of peace. He said, I want you to have that. And he said, above all, take that. Look at this. He said, I want you to take that. And he said, above all, take the shield of faith. He said, when them fiery darts come, you got a shield that you can put up. And when it comes your way, you can put it up. That faith that you have to say, and get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. We got one here in just a moment we're going to lay hands on. And it's called for the elders of the church to anoint them with oil, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man might availeth much. You say, preacher, what is that? That is faith that's going to activate that in her life, and she's going to receive a healing this morning. Somebody agree with me in Jesus' name. Why this morning? Because we're going to be strong in the Lord, not in our own acts, but in Him and what He does. He says this morning, I want you to take that shield of faith, and I want you to put on the helmet of salvation. He said, you got your shield, but put your helmet on. Put your helmet on. Why do I need a helmet, preacher? Get away from that stuff, all that negativity, all that junk that's talking to you. Get away from that. That's useless. Don't you judge your worth on what people says. Them same people say you ain't worth nothing in a couple of days, they won't be your friend. They'll be begging you, dislike you one day and like you the next. Can I say Jesus don't only like you, but He loves you. You put on that helmet, you put on that helmet, and you put on that helmet, and you wear that helmet to guard your head. One of the greatest attacks on the church is mental. So-and-so, greatest attack, so-and-so, greatest attack is mental. He said, I want you to suit up. I'm asking you this morning, are you suited up? Can people tell that you're wearing your suit this morning? He said, not only do I want you to put on the helmet of salvation, but I want you to take the sword of the Spirit. He said, I want you to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God. This Word changes people. This Word changes people. This Word, this preacher, he can't get down into the heart and the mire and the clay. He can't get down, but you know what? This Word will. You know why? That's why people don't read it, because it lines their life up. If your life is a mess and it's shackled and chains, it's because you probably ain't reading this Word. Let me say this 100%, you're not reading this Word. You'll read everything else. You'll read Facebook, Digest, all that stuff. You'll do everything under the sun. Reader's Digest, you'll get everything you can get. The newspaper, you'll look up Ott's Funeral Home to see who died. Hey, you'll read everything under the sun. But when it comes to this book, we stay away from it. Why? Because it reads our life. He reads it. That's why he said, if you're going to stay strong, you got to read this Word. And a lot of people quits right there, and that's all you need to take to be strong in the Lord. They take them right there and they stop it. But I see another one there, and you do too. And you do too. Look what he says, which is the Word of God, praying. You want another, know something else you need to put on as armor? It's prayer. It's prayer. You can put all everything on that I've just mentioned and not pray, and you'll just be a suited up saint with no strength. You'll just be a suited up strength with no a saint with no strength. You'd be like I was, and some of these other guys was in seventh grade, eighth grade, moving up to varsity. You had Roy Parker in front of you. You know you wouldn't get no playing time. He's in front of you, but you know what? Every Friday night, you know what we did, Brother Roy? We had to suit up. We had to put the suit on, had to put the helmet on, had to put our cleats on, had to put everything on. Clean as a whistle. We just sat there and watched somebody else play. You know what? We didn't go out there and stand on the sideline saying, well, I might get in, I might not get in. You suited up because you never know when you're going to get put in the game. You never know when you're going to get thrown in. You never know when it's going to come your way. You never know when you're going to have to be strong. You never know when you're the next man up. You never know when you're the next woman up. You never know when you're the next kid up. Brother Garrett, you're the next man up, and you better be ready for what God's called you to be. You're fixing to go to college, and don't you get swayed with all that doctrine down there. You stand on the Word of God, son. You stand on that old King James Bible. Don't you waver from it. Don't you slide from it. You stick with that Word. I challenge you that in the name of Jesus. There are too many people watering it down and getting away from it. Why? Because they want a crowd. They want a crowd. They want to see how many they can get or what they can get or what they can get. I've done told you once, I'll tell you again, I'm not here for the income. I'm here for the outcome. I'm here for the outcome, what God's going to do in this place. But I'm going to tell you this, not only I'll preach the rest of it tonight, amen. Overtime, baby. Somebody's in here right now that I need to know. I need to know. Are you suited up? See, I'm your pastor. I need to know. How do you know? Are you ready? Playing Christianity's over with. Being a Christian on Sunday and living like hell all week's over with. It's to the time that we're at a place in our life that you're going to be called out and you're going to have to be the men and women and children of God that God's called you to be. You say, preacher, you've been cussing. I ain't cussed to be it. I'm telling you what, that's what goes on in the world we live in. It can get a whole lot worse. This morning, I want you to know we need to suit up in what God's called us to do and be a man of God, be a woman of God. Stand up on it. Quit letting people run over you. Stand on that Word. Stand on your convictions. Stand on that book. Stand on what God's called you to be. And I promise you, when you stand, you'll stick out. You'll stick out. You always will. You always will. I don't want to be on the sideline in the fans, Brother Brad. Don't put me up in the cheering section. I don't want to be there. I want to be on the field. And I choose, if I had to choose, I really don't even want to be on the sideline. I'd rather be in the game. But if he chooses to take me out of the game, I pray he just lets me sit on the sideline with my suit on. Can I get an amen? Lord, don't put me up in the cheering section. I don't want to go up there. Boy, you've done too much for me. Don't put me up there. Let me stay in the race. Let me stay suited up for Jesus that my son may know. I never want my daughter to tell my son, Brother Brad, Daddy used to be a preacher. What good is that? Here's what I want her to say. You ought to have seen Daddy, and you still see Daddy preaching that gospel. that you can suit up in Christ Jesus. You can walk with him and talk with him all the days of your life. I said, preacher, you're getting excited. Man, I'm excited to love Jesus. I'm suited up in him. I want to know, are you suited up? We're going to war. And I want to know who I'm at war with. I want to know if there's a difference. If you've got a suit on, if you've got anything on, or you're just a Christian and you're in battle with nothing on, you're just out there and just nothing going on. Can anybody tell that you're a chauffeur for Jesus? Are you his chauffeur? I got to read you this that was sent to me by Rick Kimball. I will not take the credit for it. Rick Kimball, one of my good friends at another church, sent this to me. I used to go to church with. Pierced my heart so much and done me so good. Are you suited up in Jesus? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. Said that Billy Graham was returning to Charlotte after a speaking engagement. And when his plane arrived, there was a limousine there to transport him home. As he prepared to get into the limo, Billy Graham stopped and spoke to the driver. Listen to me this morning. You know, he said, I am 87 years old and I have never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drove it for a while? And the driver said, no problem, have it all. And Billy Graham got into the driver's seat, and as they headed down the highway a short distance away, sat a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap. The long black limo went by him doing 70 and a 55. The trooper pulled out and easily caught the limo, and he got out of his patrol car to begin the procedure. The young trooper walked up to the driver's door, and when the glasses rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving. He immediately excused himself and went back to his car and called his supervisor. And he told the supervisor, sir, I know we are supposed to enforce the law, but I also know that important people are given certain courtesies. I need to know what I should do because I have stopped a very important person. And the supervisor asked him, did you stop the mayor? The young trooper said, no, sir, he's more important than that. The supervisor asked him, said, well, did you stop the governor? And the young state trooper said, no, sir, he's a lot more important than that. And the supervisor said, you didn't stop the president, did you? And the young trooper said, no, sir, he's even more important than that. Well, who is it then? Asked the supervisor. And the young trooper said, I think it's Jesus because he's got Billy Graham as a chauffeur. Now listen to me. Now listen to me. I love that. Amen? I love that. I love that. But because of the years of service that Billy Graham had, he didn't taint himself or spot himself up with this world like preachers are doing today. See, preacher, don't talk about them. We're in the same business. Me and them are in the same field. Amen? They're spotting themselves. He said, you want to know what pure religion is? You know what pure religion is? To visit the orphans and the widows and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. That's your Bible. But let me give you this. Billy Graham, for all them years, kept himself unspotted from the world. And because he kept himself suited up in Christ Jesus, because he wore everything he was supposed to wear, when that time come in his life, who did they associate him with? Jesus. Who did they put him in there with? Jesus. They didn't say he was Jesus. They didn't say he looked like Jesus. They didn't say he acted like Jesus. All they said was is he is the chauffeur for Jesus. As your pastor, I'm nothing more and nothing less but a chauffeur for Jesus Christ. Where he wants to go, I carry him. What he wants to do, we do. Where he wants to go, we go. Because I'm suited up in Christ Jesus. This morning, I'm asking you one question. If somebody looked at your life right now, would they associate you with Jesus? I'm not talking about in these four walls. Listen to me. Right now, if you had to be associated, would they associate you with Jesus and say, well, he or she's a chauffeur for Jesus? Preacher, how do I obtain that? You can't obtain that by buying it. You can't attain it by borrowing it. You can only attain it by putting on Christ Jesus. When you ask Him to save your soul, He saves you, and at that moment you put on the whole armor of God if you choose. You wrap yourself up in His righteousness and His glory. And you let the whole world see that there's a change when you meet Jesus. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you strong in the Lord? And are you allowing the Lord to chauffeur you?